This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And you know, if you listen to the show on any kind of regular basis, that I try and talk about a lot of issues around agriculture and farming. And we try and highlight a lot of our local farmers and vendors, especially ones in North Carolina, since, of course, Ingles is based in North Carolina. And there's a group that I've become aware of probably in the last year or so that is really doing some great work in the state of North Carolina to try and help dispel some myths around food and farming and agriculture, and also kind of highlight some of the wonderful things that are going on in agriculture in North Carolina. And that's called Feed the Dialogue NC, and their website is feedthedialoguenc.com. So joining me is Marlo Vaughn, and she is going to tell us a little bit more about this organization. But first, hi, Marlo.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So it is so nice to get a chance to talk to you. And we were kind of sort of comparing notes before we got on the air and realized that we both kind of have known of each other for a little while, but we have not yet met, right?
I know. It's very unfortunate. I feel like I already know you, though, but I really don't.
Yeah, I know. Well, can you give everybody a little bit of background on who you are and sort of why you are involved in the whole agricultural space in North Carolina?
Sure. Well, I'm a pig farmer by heart. I was raised a farmer's daughter here in Goldsboro, North Carolina, in Wayne County. And I grew up working on my father's farm, and I went off to college and actually tried to get away from ag, and it slowly pulled me back in. I went to Peace College on a soccer scholarship and studied there. But when I came home from college, my cousin and I started selling pork up and down the East Coast. And while we were doing that, I realized how it became more not necessarily about selling pork, but educating people about where their food came from.
Yeah.
So it was more important to talk about my farmer story than it necessarily was to sell a pork chop. That's what kind of brought me to Feed the Dialogue, just to kind of educate folks about where their food comes from.
So can you tell everybody a little bit about how Feed the Dialogue came about, Feed the Dialogue NC came about, and sort of what the mission is?
Well, Feed the Dialogue originated as the Animal Ag Coalition back in 2010. And it was basically started by the Soybean Federation, the Pork Council, the Cattlemen's Association, and the Poultry Federation to kind of come together and combat some of those misconceptions that go on in agriculture. They started doing different events, and I came aboard last year, and we became a 501(c) nonprofit, and we kind of transitioned into Feed the Dialogue and opened it up to all of agriculture. So it's not just animal ag anymore. We represent a bunch of different other commodity groups. So that's been kind of the involvement or the involved version of the foundation. So now we represent all of North Carolina agriculture.
So I want to again mention the website is feedthedialoguenc.com. And you guys are also on Twitter and on Instagram, correct?
Sure. We also have an Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, and we actually have a YouTube channel.
Oh, fun. Okay.
So we're starting to really dive into the YouTube world.
Great. I know I've seen some videos, and I've seen a lot of your social media interaction. So would you say the mission of Feed the Dialogue NC is then to just spotlight agriculture in all of its forms in North Carolina and do community or do consumer outreach? Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what the foundation is for. You know, we're not a lobbying group. We're just strictly education and kind of just building the gap between the farmer and the consumer.
Yeah.
So that's what the foundation is all about.
And where are you based, or where is the organization based?
We're based out of Raleigh. My office is at Farm Bureau. I kind of coach an office there. I don't technically work for Farm Bureau, but they allow me to have an office there, and that's where I'm based out.
Okay.
But my board is Farm Bureau, the Cattlemen's Association, the Soybean Producers Association, and the NC Pork Council.
Nice. Okay, great. Yeah, I've run into different people with those organizations and in some of the public speaking I've done and some of the work that I've done in the agriculture space too. And I don't think people in North Carolina are often aware of what a big part agriculture plays in the state of North Carolina.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's funny, you know, and this goes for the whole country, more people live in urban areas than they do rural areas.
Right.
So there's, you know, people are just so far removed from the farm that there's a huge gap between understanding farming and farming methods. So that's a huge, huge part of what this foundation is about, is just to educate the folks that, you know, unlike me, didn't grow up on a farm.
Right. Well, and I think it's very different. And North Carolina is such a diverse state in terms of terrain and agriculture. Where I am in Western North Carolina, you've got, you know, we've got the mountains and all the state and national parks. And we have, our farms are pretty small for the most part. I mean, if you have a 500-acre farm, there's probably half of it's up the side of a mountain, and you're farming
Absolutely.
Christmas trees, or maybe you have some grazing cattle grazing. But how is that different from what you see in the Raleigh area or Eastern North Carolina? How is farming different?
You know what? And that's what I love about this state. It's so diverse. I mean, we have over 250 different commodity groups in this state, and that's something we should be really proud of. And everybody, I feel like, especially for my foundation, really likes to work together. You know, we don't like to pick, you know, winners or losers. Or,
sure.
You know, we represent small farmers, large farmers, organic, non-organic. You know, I think it's just a whole different, I mean, the state in general is just different. I mean, it's plains in eastern North Carolina. There's a lot more mills there. There's a lot more grain that's grown in eastern North Carolina. So we're just a little different than the mountain area. But
yeah.
I feel like all farmers in the state kind of have the same moral foundation, which is, you know, to feed a hungry world.
Yeah. And I think one thing that, you know, I've visited probably 40 or more farms in the past 5 or 6 years. And one of the things that I would say, I would very much say they're all unique, but I think one thing they all have in common is farmers, if you talk to them, they all want the same thing. They want to be sustainable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's come back and we're talking more with Marlo Vaughn of FeedTheDialogueNC.com about their work in reaching out to consumers and helping bust some of those myths about farming and agriculture so you're not afraid of your food. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, talking with Marlo Vaughn of FeedTheDialogueNC.com. You can find them on the internet. You can find them on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And Marlo told me they've just started a YouTube channel. And yeah, exciting. Lots going on with you guys.
Absolutely. It's been a fun year.
Yeah, I guess. And so we were ending up the last segment, and I mentioned the fact that I think that it's important for people, you know, I'm not a farmer. I didn't come from a farming background. I think probably on my mom's side, there were people who were ranching and raising cattle in the mountains of Colorado. But I have a very, very, I don't really have a close connection with agriculture at all, except for what I've tried to do in the past 5 or 6 years, which is just basically visit farms and learn more about farmers. And what's impressed me is that farmers are all different. You know, what they do, how they do, how their farms look, what they raise, all different. But what they have in common is I haven't met a farmer yet who didn't want a successful farm and didn't want to pass it on to another generation. I mean, that I think I can't think of any of them who didn't hope that their farm was going to continue. So what would be your definition of sustainability or a sustainable farm, Marlo?
I mean, I think, you know, sustainability is always a broad question that is kind of a hot word for farming. And quite honestly, I think every farmer that farms is sustainable.
Right.
You know, they care about their animals. They care about the environment. They want to be successful at what they're producing because it goes back to their families.
Sure.
So all farmers out there want to be the best farmers they can be. So I think sustainability on a broad level represents everybody.
Right. I would agree. And I think I'm glad you mentioned those things about environmental concerns because, you know, I haven't never met a farmer who didn't want to take care of their animals, didn't want to take care of the land, the water, because it's basically how they make their living. I mean,
Absolutely. You know, I still am a pig farmer. So, you know, my land and my animals and my neighbors are my top priority.
Yeah.
You know, they're very, very important. And farmers in general over the past 50 years have reduced their carbon footprint by 35%. That's something I'm really proud of.
Yeah, I would agree. I think people, you know, unfortunately, there's I call them shockumentaries. There's a lot of these.
That's a great term.
Yeah, shock. There's a lot of these quote unquote documentaries or films about farming and agriculture, which really kind of paint agriculture in a very negative light and kind of, you know, romanticize certain types of farming.
Absolutely.
or really don't give it a chance, basically. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I consider myself a modern farmer. I mean, I think we really need to change the image of what people think about when they think of a farmer. You know, it's not a pitchfork and overalls behind a mule.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've just evolved so much of an industry and with those have come new technologies that benefit not only the farmer, but the consumer.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I think as a supermarket dietitian, I see, and having talked to people in their 70s and 80s that grew up at a time where food could be very scarce in the wintertime,
right.
Or, you know, we just, you know, if you walk into an Ingles supermarket, there's tens of thousands of items, and you can buy strawberries in the middle of the winter. You can buy pork all year round. And, you know, we're living in this amazing time of abundance. And a lot of that is due to technological advances that have helped farmers and helped the food supply system, the food chain. So,
I couldn't. I mean, I want to be able to eat blueberry or feed my daughter blueberries in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that, you know, it becomes important for nutrition.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, and obviously I use seasonal vegetables and I support any local farmers when I'm buying products, but I also feel really happy and really good when I go into the grocery store because I know that the farmer that produced that product did it the right way and my food is safe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have about 2 minutes left in the segment. You mentioned another crop. So you've mentioned pork and blueberries are definitely grown in the eastern part of the state, some in the western part of the state. What are some of the other big crops in North Carolina that we're really known for?
We're really known for sweet potatoes.
Yes.
You know, we're number one sweet potato producer. And it's amazing what you can do with a sweet potato these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a diverse crop, and it's used for so many different things. I love sweet potato French fries.
Yeah.
You know, it's
noodles.
Sweet potato is a big, absolutely. Soybeans are also another crop.
Yeah,
that we grow a lot here in eastern North Carolina.
How about, now I've also heard a couple more because I remember it based on peas. So pork, sweet potatoes, pine trees or Christmas trees, peanuts. We do peanuts too, right?
Yes. We are the fifth largest, I think that's right, I'll have to check, peanut producer.
I did not, and so a lot of that's in the eastern part of the state because it has to have a different kind of soil, right?
Sure. Peanuts grow underneath the ground, actually, and we pull them up kind of by the roots, and then on the roots of the plant are the peanuts.
Right.
And they have to dry out for a certain period of time, so they really thrive in eastern North Carolina.
Right. Same with sweet potatoes, I think, because I've been out to a sweet potato farm in eastern North Carolina, and the soil is just totally different than it is here in western North Carolina. It's more like sandy soil than we have here. Yeah.
And blueberries thrive.
Blueberries, right. Now, we do have cattle here, but not anywhere near the level that you would find in the Midwest, because I've been to beef ranches in cattle ranches in Nebraska And it's, I mean, there you're talking thousands of acres, and we just really don't have it to that extent out here, right?
No, we kind of need cattle. And that's another thing, you know, there are a lot of farmers that do a bunch of different crops. You know,
right.
They're very diverse in their production system. So, you know, they use the cattle to help, you know, give back to the soil. I mean, it's all a big system of sustainability, really.
Right.
But we're not too large in our cattle production. We do have some cow-calf operations. Most of that herd gets sent out west to feed yards, but eventually it could end back, you know, in Ingles or you know, grocery stores here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the definition of local is hard for some folks. You know, I consider that a local product.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We're talking with Marlo Vaughn of Feed the Dialogue NC about some of the issues around food and farming agriculture in North Carolina. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, the Ingles Dietitian, talking with Marlo Vaughn of FeedTheDialogueNC.com. You can find them on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And FeedTheDialogueNC.com is all about trying to celebrate agriculture in the state of North Carolina and also bust some myths about food, farming, and agriculture. So I told Marlo I'm going to throw some myths at her and see what she's a little nervous, I think, because I haven't told her what the myths are going to be. But we'll see what she has to say and we can kind of talk it out a little bit. Okay, so Marlo, a lot of times I think consumers, our customers at Ingles, have the idea that they'll call a larger farm a factory farm, and they think that factory farms are bad and that a small farm is good. So how do you, like, what does that even mean? What does a factory farm even mean? And is a large farm automatically a bad farm? And is a small farm automatically a good farm?
Honestly, I get asked that question all the time, and I've never seen a factory farm.
Okay.
I don't know what they look like because, you know, every 98% of the farms in this country are family owned.
Right.
So I don't think putting a size on anything ever matters about if you're a good farmer or a bad farmer. That's a tough question. You know, I have a large scale hog operation, but I'm proud of that. It's not a factory. I work those farms every day. That's a tough question.
You know what I say, Marlo? I say, and this may, I say, no, all right, if you use that, like, if small is always good and big is bad, like, if somebody had one child, would you call them a good parent? And if somebody had six children,
right,
would you call them a bad parent? Of course not. You know, it's.
And I hate picking winners and losers.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And in the finger pointing in this industry, I don't understand that. You
right.
know? Like I said, we're everybody's farming for the same moral foundation,
right?
And that's to feed people,
right? Exactly.
I mean, you know, it shouldn't matter what size you are,
right? Exactly. You know what? Here's a good question for you. I remember is the definition of being a farmer or having a farm still based on income realized from your farming operation? Is that still how it's defined? Like, that's how you define your, if you have a farm or not? For tax purposes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's, you have to have a certain amount of income coming from the farm, and that, then you can call yourself basically a farm for tax purposes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. Here's a myth. I hear a lot of people very afraid of pesticides, and they don't understand why farmers even need to use pesticides, and they think that pesticides are all bad. How would you respond to that?
I mean, we need pesticides, and we have to use them, and people don't understand that there's such a limited amount that really ever goes into an actual field to be sprayed.
Right.
We dilute it in water. We have technologies that make sure in these tractors that allows the proper use of these pesticides.
Right.
So it's very important for people to understand that literally just a cup of a pesticide gets put in water and it's spread over an entire acre. That's
yeah.
it. I mean, it is a small amount. And the farmers have to use it to be successful in their yields. I mean, they need it to fight the weeds, to fight the bugs. I mean, it's very important to food production.
You know,
so people need to understand that it's very, very regulated. I mean, there's huge regulations on that. And every farmer uses it the proper way.
You know, one of the things...
I
was going to say one time I was talking to an apple grower, and I asked him that question. He said, you know, I wish people would understand that pesticides are expensive. They're expensive to buy. They're expensive to apply.
Right.
So it's not like we want to go out and spray them. We're going to do everything that we can to limit.
It's the same way for antibiotics.
Right.
I mean, you know, people think that these animals were pumping them full of antibiotics. Well, that's not the case.
Right.
You know, we bring in veterinarians for that. They're treated a certain way. And no meat that ever goes to the grocery store has any antibiotics in it, ever.
Right, right.
I mean, that's highly regulated, highly tested. That's another misconception that I like to talk about a lot. It's just, and, you know, as a farmer, I see these animals, and it's just like your children. If they get sick, we're going to treat them.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
People don't understand that a baby piglet has an ear infection. Well, we're going to make sure he doesn't anymore, and he feels good.
Right.
So, it is a labor of love.
I'm kind of thinking that maybe we need to stop using the word pesticides and use something else like anti-bug spray or something like that. Because, you know, you think about the fact, like, if you went outside in the middle of the summer and you were someplace that was really buggy, you would spray yourself with something.
Right, absolutely.
So you wouldn't get bitten. Well, so... You know, or you may call it antifungal or something like that, because I swim in at a rec center, and sometimes I get athlete's foot, so I put an antifungal, you know, so that my feet don't itch. So maybe the problem is that people don't really understand what pesticide means and why farmers are using it, and like you said, that understand that they're using so little or as little as they can, and they'd be maybe a little less afraid of it.
Absolutely. I think in the end, it all has to do with education.
Yes.
Educating these people.
Exactly. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about pesticides. We've talked about antibiotics. Is there one other thing that you get asked about a lot? We have about a minute left, Marlo.
I think GMOs is one of my top issues that I talk about a lot with my foundation.
Yep.
Just people not realizing what that term means, exactly what, you know, products are considered genetically modified. I think that's a question that we need to do a better job as an industry talking about, because farmers need those products.
Right. They need access to that technology. And the state
Absolutely.
The state of North Carolina is doing some amazing research in that, especially up in the Research Triangle area. Some of your major companies like Syngenta and Bayer are up there doing some amazing work in trying to help farmers, not just in North Carolina, but worldwide.
Absolutely.
Well, we run to the end of our segment here. Marlo, thanks so much for joining us. And folks, remember, go to feedthedialoguenc.com. You can find tabs for them on their Twitter, their Facebook, Instagram pages as well. They're doing great work to help bust the myths around food and farming and to celebrate farming and agriculture in North Carolina. Thanks, Marlo.
Thank you so much.